sorrow I wandered, my spirit oppressed. But now I am happy, securely I rest. From morning till evening, glad carols I sing. And this is the reason I walk with the King. I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. 4 years in the fetters of sin I was bound. The world could not help me, no comfort I found. But now, like the birds and the sunbeams of spring, I'm free and rejoicing. I walk with the King. I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. Oh, soul near despair, in the lowlands of strife, look up and let Jesus come into your life. The joy of salvation to you He would bring. Come into the sunlight and walk with the King. I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King.
God enjoyed that. All right, we're going to open our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 1. So that's the third book in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus chapter 1, right there at the beginning. And then at the same time, or along with that, find Hebrews chapter 9, okay? Hebrews chapter 9. So we're going to read here a couple of verses in Leviticus and then flip all the way over toward the back of your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 9, all right? Leviticus 1, Hebrews 9. If you can stand this morning, if you're able to stand in honor of God's word, why don't you join me? I'm going to read just the first two verses of Leviticus chapter 1. Follow along. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. We'll stop our reading there. And now flip over, if you would, all the way toward the back, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22. Verse number 22, why don't you read this one with me, okay? You found it there, verse 22 in Hebrews 9. Ready? And let's read. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And I want to speak on the word without. Without. That's what I want to speak on this morning. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be here today. For me, the fellowship of being with your people is invaluable. To sing the songs to you is priceless. To lift our voices together, to come in from a chaotic and crazy world and have a little few moments of just worshiping you and rejoicing in your goodness to us. This is unbelievable. And I'm thankful for it. And now we come to the preaching of your word. And we can do nothing without you. Nothing. So I can't preach. We can't listen. We can't benefit unless you help us. Reach down from your throne. Help us this morning. Thank you for the day you've given us to live. I pray that you might be honored today. in all that we do, including these next several minutes in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, we're going to start in Leviticus, okay? We're going to start there. So, you're in chapter 1. When the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, okay, God instituted a system of offerings and sacrifices for them to make in order to have a good relationship with Him. The five major offerings were given to Moses and are recorded by him in the first five chapters of Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 1, you read about the burnt offering. Chapter 2 is the meat offering. 3, the peace offering. 4, the sin offering. And chapter 5, the trespass offering. So you can read about those. There's no book in this Bible that's unimportant. And some of you may have to slow down a little bit and just read carefully. All right? But boy, God can stir your heart. He can speak to you. It's His Word. He can speak to you. Okay? Now, again, the offerings provided a way for the Israelites to make and keep a right relationship with God. Three of the offerings, the major, okay, three of the five major offerings were voluntary. Two of them were required. Four of the major offerings required an animal for the sacrifice. The other one was a meal or flour offering. And by the way, there was provision made for the poorest of the poor who didn't own any animals. It was an animal sacrifice, but provision was made for the poorest of the poor in the land. They could offer flour in the place of an animal if they didn't have one. Okay? Now, there's far more concerning these offerings than we have time to look at this morning. To get to the point that I want to make and emphasize today, I've got to just simplify all of this, all right? And I'm not saying we're not able to understand it. It's just it's too broad for a 35-minute message. And that's hopeful, 35 minutes, okay, all right? So that's what you're hoping, okay? And me too, okay? Now, for most of the sacrifices that involved an animal, God gave the children of Israel three options, okay? You find those options in Leviticus chapter 1. They could bring a cattle from their herd in verse number 3. Look at it. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd. That's talking about the cattle, all right? So you can bring a cattle from the herd. Then you can look down at verse number 10. They could bring a sheep or a goat from their flock. So in verse, and if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt offering. Okay? So option one, bring a cattle from your herd. Number two, you can bring a sheep or a goat from your flock. And then he made a provision, he made an option in verse number 14. They could bring a turtle dove or a pigeon from their birds. And if the burnt sacrifice, look at 14. For his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. So just like I'm guessing, just like here today, you have people in society under on all different levels financially. They had different levels of wealth back in children of Israel. Dave, you got plenty of cattle, bring a cow. Bring something from your herd. You don't have as many cattle, you can bring something from the flock, a sheep or a goat. If you don't have that, you can bring something from a bird, your fowls, a pigeon or a turtle. You remember when Jesus was born to Joseph and Mary? They took Jesus into the temple and they brought with them two young turtle doves or pigeons for a sacrifice as the law commanded. So Joseph and Mary, they were not at the bottom of the poverty level, but they were close. Plus, he was away from his home. He was in Bethlehem Jerusalem there, and his home was up in Nazareth. Okay? So this is what happened. Now, for the four sacrifices that required an animal for an offering, four out of the five, there was a stipulation involving that animal, and it contains the word without. Without. Look at verse 3. Look at it again. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. You see that? Now, those two words, without blemish, they are used in the book of Leviticus about the sacrifices 18 times. So all through the book of Leviticus, you're reading about these sacrifices that involve an animal, and every time it's without blemish, without blemish, without blemish, without those animals had to be without a scar or any kind of sickness. You know, in our day, that had to be a 4-H type animal. For any of you agriculture people, okay? Had to be a 4-H type animal. So the Israelite, bringing a sacrifice to the altar, if it was an animal, he was very careful with his selection. The animal had to be examined and had to be as searched for all over his body for any kind of imperfection, any kind of blemish. And if there was any kind of imperfection, any kind of blemish, any kind of sickness whatsoever, he was disqualified. Without blemish. Okay? Now, listen carefully. The thing that mattered along with that, about that sacrifice, was it had to die. Had to. As beautiful, as perfect, as without blemish, as the animal may have been, if the animal walked away from the altar without dying, without bloodshed, the sacrifice was not complete. But wait a minute. Look at this animal. Look at how beautiful it is. There's not an imperfection on this thing. He is absolutely perfect. If he walks away, the sacrifice is incomplete. He had to die. Because without blood, it was incomplete. Without blood. No matter if the animal is without blemish. Now, speaking about those sacrifices over a millennium, more than a millennium later, okay, so we're in the book of Leviticus, and then you turn over, we turned over to Hebrews, and we read in verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Why does it say almost all things? Because there was one sacrifice that didn't demand an animal. No bloodshed. Okay, but look at the last of the verse. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So the writer of Hebrews, he's referring back to this time period when the Israelites were bringing these animals to the altar for sacrifices. And they brought these beautiful, perfect, unscarred, unblemished animals. And that's wonderful. It had to be that way. But if it was going to be completed, the animal had to die. It had to die by shedding its blood. Without blood, there's no deliverance. Without blood, there's no forgiveness. Without blood, there's no pardon. For what? For sin. For sin. In other words, it wasn't enough that the animals were without blemish. Without blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. Now, it mattered that the animals were without blemish. If they had not been, they would never have been able to be used or even brought in as a sacrifice. But if that's all they had been, just without blemish, sin would never have been forgiven. Those animals had to die. And they had to die by shedding their blood. Look at verse number 5. Look at it here. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood. They had to die, and then there's blood. Look at verse number 11 in your Bible. Same place, chapter 1. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood. So we got death and we got blood. Look at verse 15. And the priest shall bring it under the altar and wring off his head. Now, the word die and death is not used there, but when you wring off a chicken's head or a fowl's head, it's pretty much dead. Okay. Look at it, verse 14. Verse number 15. And the blood thereof. Death and blood. Death and blood. Over and over again. Death and blood. There had to be blood. Okay? So the animal had to be without blemish, had to be perfect, absolutely just perfect without blemish. But that's not enough for the sacrifice to be. Don't bring a sick animal. Don't bring a blemished animal. Don't bring a scarred animal. We can't even get to first base with a blemished animal. But if you bring an unblemished animal to complete the sacrifice, it has to die, and it has to die. You don't choke it. You don't drown it. You kill it and let it bloodshed. Without that, no forgiveness. Without that, no pardon. That's what's going on here. Okay? Now, listen carefully. Not only did the sacrifices provide a way for the Israelites to make and keep a right relationship with God, the sacrifices and offerings were also a type of Jesus Christ and what he did for us when he offered himself on the cross. What I mean by that is you can learn truths from the sacrifices of the animals about the sacrifice of Jesus. Okay? So what did we learn about the animals? They had to be without blemish, without spot. They had to be blameless, had to be, no sickness. But the sacrifice is not complete until the animal dies by bloodshed. And that teaches us about what Jesus did for us. Now, we're going to kind of shift gears here for a moment, okay? So don't answer this out loud because it'd be chaos, but just think on it, turn it over in your mind. What is your favorite miracle that Jesus worked? Just think about it for a minute, okay? What is your favorite sermon Jesus preached? What kind or good deed did Jesus perform while he was on the earth that is your favorite? Okay, you think back through the Gospels a little bit. You kind of think about through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what you've read there. What's your favorite miracle? What's your favorite sermon? What good deed Jesus performed that is your favorite? I asked this in chapel the other day. And, I got some good answers from the kids, both elementary and teenage. I think the first one was Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. That's a cool miracle. Okay? Lazarus has been in that tomb 4 days. And Jesus approached that tomb, and Mary, Martha there, and he tells those people, roll that stone away. And boy, Mary spoke up and said, Lord, by this time, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. You roll that stone away, it's going to be rough. And then the Bible says that Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. You see everybody? Yeah, you got to put yourself there, right? They're either looking at Jesus like, this man's lost his mind. Or they're looking at the tomb like, is this going to happen? And just, here comes old Lazarus. He's all covered up with grave clothes. Remember? And remember what Jesus told everybody standing around? Loose him and let him go. By the way, that's the job of the local church. When somebody gets saved, they come from death unto life, and it's the job of the local church to loose them and let them go for God. Amen. Teach them the scripture and have them live for God. That's an unbelievable miracle. I mean, it would have been nice to be standing around that day when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Would have been nice to see that. And then one of the other things was Jesus healed the man who laid by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. 38 years. 38 years. That's older than a lot of you in this room this morning. Have been alive. He's been laying by the pool of Bethesda where all those impotent and sick folk were. And the angel came from heaven and troubled the waters. And the first person that put their hand or touched the water after the angel troubled it was healed. And that man for 38 years had tried to get to the pool and put his hand or his foot or some part of his body in that water after the angel troubled it. For 38 years, he'd been trying to get there. And one day he's laying there like he had been for 38 years and Jesus comes by. It's always a good day when Jesus passes by. Jesus passed by. And I can't remember the exact wording. Forgive me. Will you be made whole? He said, sir, I have no man. I lived here 38 years. Been here 38 years. I have no man to get me to the water. And I forget. Please forgive me. I didn't read through the miracle this morning to refresh it. But either Jesus took him by the hand or he spoke the word or something. But that man got up off that sick bed. His health was restored to him, and he went on his way walking. You say, I can't hardly believe that. You better believe that. That's recorded in that book right there. That happened. That would have been neat to see. One other, Jesus feeding the 5,000. Men, not counting women and children, Five pieces of bread, two pieces of fish. He blessed it. He broke it. And it just multiplied and multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And the disciples just kept passing food and passing food and passing food. There's 5,000. Would you like to have a buffet? Would you like to be responsible for a buffet to feed 5,000 men? But that's what they did. They ate till they were filled. And for some fellows, that takes a lot. They ate till they were filled. And then Jesus took up 12 baskets of food that remained. Now, if you give half of those guys a wife, that's 7,500. You give those couples a couple of kids, because it said besides women and children, you know, who knows how many people were on that hillside that day when Jesus took five pieces of bread, two pieces of fish, and fed them a buffet. They all ate till they were filled and took up 12 baskets full of food at the end. The question always, what did they do with those 12 baskets full? Some people say, well, each one of the disciples got one. Well, that's speculation. I like to think that the little boy got one. He got them all. And I like to think that he came home with 12 baskets full of food. His mother goes, where'd you get that? Oh, Mom. He tells her the story. Don't you lie to me, son. Amen. Did you steal that food? Now you say, well, that's too hard for me to believe. No, it's not too hard for you to believe if you'll just believe what God said. That's how it happened. I'll tell you what's hard to believe is what I heard some goofball preacher, excuse me, but I heard him on the radio explaining the feeding of the 5,000 this way. All the people were gathered there, and they brought a lunch for the day, and they were all hiding it. And then they saw the unselfishness of the little boy who gave his meal away to Jesus, and they were also moved by the boy's unselfishness that they gave their food up. That's hard to believe. For me, that's hard to believe. If people are going to give up their lunch. I ain't happening, ma'am, no. Jesus took five pieces of bread, two pieces of fish, and fed all those people. That's pretty. And one fellow said, Jesus healing Malchus's ear. I thought that was interesting. You know, that comes from a boy, blood and guts, you know. I mean, Peter tries to cut Malchus's head off in the garden. Malchus moves his head down, clips his ear plumb off. The Bible says Jesus picked it up, put it back on his head. Told Peter, put your sword away. Yeah, it's a miracle. To be standing around seeing all that happen. How about Jesus healing the paralytic man that was let down through the roof? How about that one? How about stopping a funeral procession? And in those days, they paid people to mourn and wail. And he stops the whole procession and brings that boy back to life. He did that to Peter's mother-in-law. And Peter was excited about it, I guess. Yeah. It's interesting for me to read it. He brought her back to life and presented her to them alive. There you go, folks. But to be around when all that happened. To see that. How about Jesus walking on the water to help the disciples in the middle of the storm? How about him standing up on the bow of the stern of the boat and saying, peace be still. Well, that would be cool. I mean, that just, we could go on and on for a long time. You got your favorite. When it comes to the sermons Jesus preached, to multitudes or to a handful? How could you pick one for a favorite? They're all truth. All truth that led people to salvation in himself. And I, personally for me, you know, I love the one-on-one conversation that he had with that woman at the well in Samaria. Jews don't even speak to Samaritans. They don't even walk in the country where the Samaritans live. They don't want to be a part of that at all. And Jesus goes right through their country, right to the well, where he knew Samaritan people would be coming to draw water, and he sits down. That's incredible. And that woman comes, and can I have a drink of water? And she said, I don't have a thing to draw with, or whatever she said. I can't remember the exact story right now, paraphrasing. And Jesus said, you know, I could give you a drink of living water, and if you had a drink of that living water, you'd never thirst again. And Jesus wasn't talking about water. He's talking about salvation. She's not on the same page with him yet. Well, I'd like some of that water. I never thirst again. You mean I never got to come to this well again? If I had water like that, I'd sure like to have some. And Jesus says, yeah, that'd be good. Go call your husband. Well, I don't have a husband. No, you don't. Lived with five men, and now you're living with another one. Now, put yourself, come on, live this. This woman walks up to this well, sits down, this complete stranger, and he just told her whole life story. What? Should we be surprised that Jesus knows everything about us? By the way, he wasn't being ugly, nor was he condemning that woman. But she had to face her sin to get a drink of living water. Somebody says, think about repentance. It's overplayed. You can read the whole Gospel of John, and the word repent is never used in there. Yet it's right there. That's John chapter 4. He made her face her sin. And boy, you know what she tried to do? Change the subject. Well, you know, you say you worship in Jerusalem. We worship over here. We're all going to the same place. You ever heard that before? Doesn't matter who you worship. We're all going to end up the same place. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Craziest thing. And Jesus brought her right back down to the point of the living water. And she said, you know what? I know that they talk about a Messiah that's going to come someday. And when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all things that we ever did. Hello. Yeah, I love what he said. He said, I that speak unto thee am he. You know what he told her? You're talking to him. You're talking to him. How could she deny it? The Bible says she left her water pot. She forgot about the water that she came to draw. She forgot about physical water. And at that moment of time, words, she doesn't even say anything to Jesus. But no doubt in her heart, she receives him as the Messiah, as her Savior. She leaves her water pot. She runs to the city. Come see a man that told me everything I ever did. And some of those men are going, what? And you know what the Bible says? A whole bunch of those people in Samaria believed on Christ that day because of that woman's testimony. I would love to have been there. But you know where I probably would have been with the disciples. You know, we got you bread. You're not even hungry. What do you mean? We went to town and got you a bologna sandwich. They're Jews. They wouldn't have got a bologna sandwich. Kosher bologna, okay? We got you this. And you're not even hungry? Remember what Jesus said? I have meat to eat that you know not of. So you got all this going on. All these miracles, all these sermons, all these deeds. The Bible says he went about doing good. Oh, and by the way, don't forget that he was without sin, without blemish. Nobody in this room can say that. Nobody in the world can say that, but Jesus and about Jesus, without blemish. He had no sin nature. He had God's blood flowing in his veins. He was tempted, but he never sinned. He was without blemish. But here's the thing I want you to get. As wonderful as Jesus' miracles were, as wonderful as his preaching and teaching was, as sinless as he was on earth in his life, without shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness. There's no pardon. There's no release of the debt that we owe without blood. And specifically, without the shedding of Jesus' blood, because he was the only human God-man who was without blemish. You and I could not be brought, we could never have been brought to the cross as a sacrifice for mankind because we're blemished. He was the only unblemished one. And He was brought to the cross for His sacrifice. Here's it. Listen, for us to be forgiven, it's just like the animal. The animal's unblemished. The animal is perfect. He is unscarred. But unless the animal dies by bloodshed, the sacrifice is not complete. And unless Jesus died by shedding His blood, the sacrifice for our sin would never, ever have been complete. There was no miracle miraculous enough. There was no sermon powerful enough. There was no good deed good enough in itself to provide the forgiveness from sin. Jesus had to die. And He had to die by shedding His blood. Just like that animal had to die by shedding its blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Whoa, 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 He walked on the water. That's wonderful. But your sin doesn't get washed away without the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Whoa, whoa, what about the messages that He preached and all the miracles He worked? They were wonderful. He was unblemished. He was unscarred. He was perfect and did all these wonderful things. But now without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Okay, I get it. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. What flow? The flow of His blood. That's what washes us. That's what cleanses us. That's what forgives us. That's what pardons us. That's what releases us from the debt that we owe. Jesus had to die. You remember the death of Jesus? Brutal. Brutal. Agonizing. Cruel. Inhumane. Slow. Painful. The beating of His face. The plucking of His beard with their hands. The crown of thorns they smashed on His brow. The scourging at the post where they hung their hands, tied their hands together and took that Roman cat of nine tails and whipped Him 39 times. 39 times. Nine pieces of sharp bone or some kind of sharp something ripped through the flesh of Jesus Christ. What do you think flowed from those wounds? Blood. The nails in His hands and feet. A little picture in all the places, some churches, Jesus on a cross, and a little bit of blood here, and just a trickle here, a trickle here. That's not what happened on the cross. You're talking about a bloody sacrifice so marred you couldn't even figure out it was a man. The spear thrust up through His chest cavity. Get those bodies off the cross. The Jewish Passover begins at sundown. It's getting close to 6. They come to the first thief. He's still breathing. They broke his legs. He's done. His goose is cooked. He can't push himself up for a breath anymore. They break the legs of that second thief. Same thing. He's not going to. They came to Jesus. They saw that He was what? Dead already. Not a bone in His body was broken because hundreds of years earlier, the psalmist had written, not a bone of Him will be broken. Whew. Tell me that's not God's book. But just to make sure, they take that spear and ram that thing up through His chest cavity, His abdomen into His chest cavity. And the Bible says there came forth blood and water therewith. You know what happened on that cross? He was crucified until every last drop of blood fell from His veins. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Whew. All the miracles and all the teaching and all the power, powerful enough to tell the winds and waves, stop it. couldn't complete the sacrifice. The sacrifice was completed by the flow of His blood. Without blood from an unblemished sacrifice, it's not complete. There's no forgiveness. There's no pardon. But when you take the unblemished sacrifice, the sacrifice that's without blemish, and the blood is shed, you know what you have? You have salvation for everybody. Anybody who wants it. Anybody who's humble enough to admit it. I need it. That's what we have. I love the old song, without the blood, I'd never know my Savior. Without the blood, I'd be lost eternally. And without the blood, I'd never go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for each drop you shed for me. He had to die. And without that, there's no forgiveness. There's no pardon. Do you know the song? Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He sacred head for such at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now all the day. Because He raised the dead. Because He fed 15,000 people. Because He died. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Father, is the miracles not enough? Is the preaching not enough? Is the without the blemish, without sin, not enough? No, son, it's not enough. You've got to die. Great price of my pardon, His own. Precious Son, saved by the miracles, saved by the blood. Without blemish, had to be. But without blood, the without blemish is not enough. He had to die. Oh, there's one more without. It's in Hebrews 11:6. Don't turn to it. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Every person in the world in a lost condition has been given a measure of faith. That's that song we sang this morning. You look around and you see creation. You go, you know what? Somebody put this together. God says, you're right. I did. You know what God does? He sends more light. And when light's received, He sends more light. When light's received, He sends more light. I wonder this morning, have you received the light of the truth of God and salvation? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Are you saved? Are you born again? That woman left that well. On her way to heaven, rejoicing. That thief who died beside Christ. Hey, the other side. If you're Christ, get us off the cross. Save yourself. It's not if I'm Christ. I didn't come here to save myself. He didn't say that, but that's Bible. I came here to die. Lord, remember me. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. If you're forgiven, if you're washed, if you're pardoned from your sin, don't forget that without Jesus, without His blood, without Him dying, there is no forgiveness. Be thankful. And if you're with, if you have not been forgiven, you've not been washed, you've not been pardoned from your sin, then the blood that was shed by Christ was shed for you. Trust Him and be saved. Father in heaven, we thank You for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Help us not to forget the price that was paid for our salvation. Help us to be thankful that Jesus came to die. May we never forget it. And Father, I pray this morning, if there's somebody here in the crowd who's not saved, today would be the day of their salvation, their forgiveness, their pardon from sin. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. Pastor, somewhere I'm a saved person. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And somewhere throughout the course of the message, the Spirit of God just touched my heart. I'm very thankful that Jesus worked all those miracles, but I'm really thankful that He died for me. If you're saved and you know it and you're thankful, can I see your hand this morning? If God reminded you about that, thank you. Take your hands down. If you're not saved, you couldn't raise your hand just now. I appreciate your honesty. I'm not trying to get anybody in this room to become a Baptist or to join this church. This is not about money. This is not about anything more than just your eternal destiny. Jesus came to die for you. He laid down His life for you. You can be saved. All it takes is a little humility. Lord, I need to be saved. Just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. What do we mean by that? Invite you. If you're not sure that you're saved, come to one of the other people will be coming to pray. Just come to one of the aisles. Come right down here. Shake this one of these men down here, their hand. Say, I need to be saved, or I don't know that I'm saved. We have ladies that can talk to ladies, men that can talk to men about salvation. We're all prepared. For anybody that needs to be saved, you just got to take the first step. I did. 46 years ago this October. 47. You can too. If you're not saved, my goodness, Jesus died for you. Come and find that forgiveness. Come and find that release. Come and find that pardon from sin in Christ. Just invite you to come. If you're here to be baptized, follow the Lord and believers' baptism, now's the time. Whatever God wants you to do, I pray that you'll do it. Father, bless the invitation. Thank You for sending Your Son Christ to die for us. Thank You, Jesus, for being willing to die for us. May our hearts be warm this morning. May we never forget Christ died for our sin. Thank You for that. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today unsaved, that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that in Christ's name. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And our song of invitation. We invite you to come. Invite you to take the hand of one of these men. Say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you come? Others are coming. Would you join them? Here comes somebody over here. Here comes somebody over here. Why don't you come? Just come. We're not trying to get anything out of you. Just, are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Don't let the unseen enemy steal the thought out of your mind right now. If God's working on your heart, don't try to pass it off. Come, let us show you how to be saved this morning. Would you come? Maybe you just need to bow and thank the Lord for shedding His blood, for giving Himself as a sacrifice for our sin. Help me not to forget it, Lord. What a gift. The gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is heaven. Eternal life is salvation. Eternal life is forever and ever and ever with the Lord instead of that awful place called hell. This may be your time. This may be your moment this morning. Would you come? Would you step out and come? Just see what the Bible has to say about being saved. Trust in Christ, that's all. She's playing that beautiful old hymn, Jesus paid it all. And He did. Every bit of it. For every person. Now come and receive that gift of salvation today if you don't know that you're saved. Some are still praying. We have time for you. We have time for you to come. This may be your verse. While we wait today.